Praise the name of the Lord forevermore. Well, turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, beginning at chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible tonight, we've got good news for you. We've got a Bible for you. If you need a Bible, just go ahead and lift your hand. Our ushers will get one to you. If you don't own a Bible, then that Bible belongs to you. If you do own a Bible and just forgot it tonight, you can leave it in the sanctuary when you leave tonight, and we'll just make sure somebody else uses it later on. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, today I was over in Poindexter. You might as well get used to me talking about Poindexter because I'm going to. Get over it. No. And I was just kind of walking and praying and listening and preparing for the service tonight. And I was walking down the street. There were some guys working in the building. And I was approaching this big oak tree. I mean, big dude, big oak. No, it wasn't an oak tree. It was a magnolia tree, you know, big limbs and that kind of thing. And I tell you what, this was about, I don't know, 11, 12 o'clock. No, yeah, around 12-ish, 11-ish, 12-ish, something like that. No, it was 1. It was after 12 o'clock. And it was hot. I don't know about you. How many of you were outside today out in the heat? It was hot. And I was walking down the street, man, and I don't know why I wore a black shirt, duh, on a day like today. But I was walking down the street, and I was saying, man, it's hot out here. And I looked up and saw that big old magnolia tree. And it was mighty inviting, the shade was. And so as I approached it, when I got underneath it, I guess the humidity wasn't quite as hot as the temperature was. I don't know. It was cool underneath that tree, and the wind kind of blowing. And I said, man, you know, it's nice to have somewhere nice and cool to find refuge from the heat, away from the heat. And, of course, you know, I thought about the fact that there are a lot of people who are in the heat. A lot of people who are out there in the sweltering heat and need to come out of there. They need to find a cool place, a place of refuge. A safe place. And, you know, of course you know I'm talking about people being outside of the kingdom of God. That's right. The heat that they're in is a heat that doesn't ever go away. You know, right now, of course, they're still walking on the earth, the ones that we haven't gone on before. But should they die? Should they go on? Should they leave this earth? The heat in that place, in hell, is heat like we've never known before. It's heat like we never want to know. And in light of that, we're going to talk tonight about Jesus. We're going to talk about his life in relation to our lives as us being the body of Christ. We're going to look at what he did when he was on the earth and why he did it, and why we should do it as well. Amen. And so let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul suggests or implies that all of us who are in the body of Christ, you and me and the people sitting around you, we've all got a race to run. Every one of us. And he also goes on to imply that if we're all going to run that race and we're all going to run it and complete it successfully, that there is a way that the race needs to be run. And there is something or somebody that we need to focus our attention on. Now, Paul says we need to run our race with patience. He says, looking unto Jesus. I used to be in the marching band. And I can tell you that it really does matter what it is that you focus your attention on. If you're marching and somebody's marching next to you, if you look at the person marching next to you, eventually you start straying in that direction if they're on the right. If you're looking to the left, you start walking to the left. It matters what you place your attention on, what you focus your attention on, whether you're marching or whether you're running physically, naturally, but certainly when you're running your race, this Christian race, it does matter. It really does matter. And so Paul says we look unto Jesus. Now he says that Jesus is the finisher, the author. We look to Jesus because Jesus is the one that started this whole thing. He's the one that got it started. He's also the one that's going to bring it full circle. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. And he goes on to say that Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he endured the cross. He, while despising the shame, the word despise means to lightly esteem or to ignore. He says he endured the cross. He ignored or lightly esteemed or didn't pay much attention to the shame. And he is now, because of that, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I left a part out of there on purpose. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He did this because of the joy. He was able to endure the cross. He was able to despise or lightly esteem or ignore the shame because of the joy that was set before him. It was the joy that was set before him that helped him to ignore the pain and the suffering, to ignore the ridicule, the rejection, even by people who had followed him. It was his joy. Well, let's see what that joy was. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, looking at verse 9. And it reads, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all things and by for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Verse 12 says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily or truly, he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. The joy that was set before Jesus, the one that caused them to endure the cross, to despise the shame, the one that, the thing that motivated him to go through it all, was one, he knew that he would taste death for every man. In other words, he would die for us, for every man. From that point until forever, anybody who ever said yes to Jesus would come right into the family of God. Amen. That gave him great joy. Secondly, it was the bringing of many sons into the family. It's kind of the same thing. He would bring many sons into the family. He would make both the sanctifier and those that were sanctified one. He would make us one with him. How about that? Glory to God. Next, he would declare God's name to his brethren, that through death he might destroy him that had the power over death. Talking about the devil. Jesus knew that when he died, he destroyed the power of the devil. When he went and defeated all the powers of darkness, he would destroy the devil's dominion over man. Amen. He would release him from the bondage of the kingdom of darkness. So we look to Jesus then. And Jesus did what he did because he found joy in it. Now he's made us, you and me, one with him. And the same joy that Jesus had, bringing many sons into the family of God, we should find joy in that very same thing. Joy in the idea that, man, we can help somebody come out of the heat. Glory to God. We can help them to escape the sweltering heat of hell. We can do that. That gives me joy. I don't know about you. This weekend, we went out to Poindexter. And it's third Saturday. Every third Saturday, we got outreach over in the Poindexter community. And it was raining really, really hard. Lots of, just rain. And we had 20 people show up. I mean, they came in the rain, man. You know, we had a couple calls saying, listen, are we still having, I said, yeah. It never rains at Poindexter. And to be honest with you, you know, if I didn't have to be there and I saw the rain coming down like I saw it, I'd have called too. Do I have to go? I didn't have anybody to call. Do I have to go? It's good sleeping weather. But when we got together and we opened, you know, we started up and everything, we took a different direction. It was raining outside, so we decided we'd do something different. We didn't have to hurry up and get outside of the building. So we said, listen, I'll tell you what, you know, oftentimes when you want to go, you know, when you look at going out and touching people and ministering to people, you look at the physical side of it. Even in evangelism, you think about, okay, I'm going to go out to the street, I'm going to go out to the neighborhood, and we're going to go and we're going to pray with these people, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And oftentimes we look at the natural side of it or the physical side of it as the most pressing or the most important part of it. And it has its place. You know, I mean, you really do have to go out and do the physical stuff. But I share with them that, you know, before we do anything in the kingdom of God, being children of God, prayer is what is the most important component of everything that we do, element of everything that we do. And because prayer opens up the door, it opens the door of people's hearts, it opens up the doors of heaven, prayer opens up that opportunities, and it just makes everything ripe. It sets the stage. And so that day, now we always pray whenever we come together, but that day we made a point to pray. And we prayed specifically because we really wanted to see change. We want to see change in that community. We really do. And we're going to see it in our hearts. It's already settled. Isn't that right, Robert? Burnett, Brother Dean. It's already settled. And so what we did was I said, you know, we're going to pray together, and we're going to pray. We're going to ask God for what we want to see today. And what I want you to see, I don't want you to see a person leading you in prayer. I want you to see how God works in your life. How, you know, when you were born into the family of God, the Spirit of God came to live in you. When you got filled with the Holy Ghost, man, you got a dose of the Holy Ghost to give you the power to do whatever you need to do. And the Spirit of God came to live in you, and he came to guide you. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. And so I say, you know, he guides you in your daily life and that kind of thing. But God desires to guide you even in your prayer time. Of course he does. He wants to show you how to pray. He wants to tell you what to pray for. So we all started to pray. I said, listen, don't be intimidated. I want you to pray whatever's in your heart, because the Holy Ghost lives in you and he's going to tell you what to pray. And so 20 people gathered around, and they said, some of them prayed three words, and somebody prayed a couple of sentences, and it was a very simple. I said, the simpler the better. Just say the words that's in your heart, and that's what they did. Oh, praise the Lord. And so it was all over with, and we did the, you know, we got a chance to do what we needed to do and those kinds of things. We went out and actually worked in the building. But right after that, before lunch, we went out with some donuts to one of the apartment complexes. I'm sharing this with you because I want you to see how simple it is to change people's lives, to introduce them to Jesus. It's not complicated. And it's something that every one of us can do. You and me and our children and we all can do it. We're all called to do it. We're all anointed to do it. We're all commissioned to do it. Every one of us. And the Holy Ghost is the one who called you. You think he called you and sent you without going with you or without preparing the way. So we went out and took some donuts to this apartment complex, and we knocked on some doors. And that was one door. First door I knocked on, and there were a group of guys. We were standing there with donuts, and this kid comes to the door, and he says, are those donuts for us? I say, yes. I've already had mine. And so I said, where's your mom? Where's your dad? He says, my mom is back in there. She's asleep, and she doesn't want to be bothered. I said, okay, well, that's fine. We're just going to take the donuts. And he says, wait a minute. Now, we prayed and asked God for hearts, for him, souls, people to give their life to him. So he goes back in the back. I didn't even tell him to. And he goes and he stays there for a minute, and then he comes back. He said, mama's coming. Bring her on, brother. Mama comes to the door, and she's a young lady, probably about 20, 25 maybe years old. And she comes up, and listen, there are 7 kids in this apartment. There are 4 kids of hers, and she's got 4 kids, and she's got her nieces and nephews. And so she comes in, and I said, ma'am, we brought you these donuts. She said, thank you so much. I said, is there anything you want us to pray with you about? She said, yes, let me tell you something. People love for you to pray with them, pray for them. They love it. And so we said, this, we'll pray with her. I said, what you want us to pray for? She said, just pray for my family. I said, I'm going to pray for your family. So we prayed for her family. And I said, ma'am, let me ask you a question. She said, well, I said, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Such a simple answer. She said, oh, yeah, I have. And her little son there, I said, he was a little taller. Maybe he's about 10 years old. He said, yeah, I have too. He said, I do it all the time. I said, we're going to teach you something later on. But anyway, he prays what everybody else praying. He does it like with it. But anyway, so I didn't say anything else because these are little kids. They're young kids. She said, but the mama said, but I don't think any of them have. I don't think any of them have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I said, well, do you mind if I pray with them? She said, no, go ahead, please. I said, kids, do y'all want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning? And I'm telling, these weren't dumb kids. These were very bright kids. And they were all in my face. They were like, yes. And I'm going, Lord, yes. I said, okay, well, pray this prayer with me. And I prayed, I led them in the prayer of salvation. And 5 children were delivered into the kingdom of God. They made a decision for Christ. I mean, they made a decision and they were excited about it. And now the neat thing about it is we'll get a chance to follow up with them because they're in our neighborhood. I'm sorry, we're in their neighborhood. The point is this. There's joy in doing things like that. When I say joy, I'm talking joy, unspeakable joy. You remember when Jesus was at the well, talking to the woman at the well, and he told her about the water that she could drink and she'd never thirst again, and those kinds of things, and told him about the Father and, you know, true worship and those kinds of things. You remember that. And you remember that when the disciples came back, they had gone to the city to get Jesus something to eat. And Jesus said, they said, Master, we've got you something to eat. And he says, listen, I've got meat that you don't know anything about. He says, my meat is to do the will of the Father and to finish the work. To do the will of the Father. Every time I ever lead anybody to Jesus, there's that kind of a fulfilling, satisfying thing on the inside of my spirit. And it lasts for days. I mean, it lasts for days. I can relate to that. That's the joy. That's the joy that keeps me going. That's the joy that Jesus was talking. That's the joy that caused Jesus to endure the cross, lightly esteem the shame. Look at Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, Jesus has come out of the wilderness and he has he's defeated Satan's attempt to tempt him. And he's returned back in the power of the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, he says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. We know where it is. It's Isaiah 61. Anyway, that's the one. It wasn't in Scripture. But. And he read this. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus announced, I mean, he stands up in the synagogues and Gog, and he shares his vision with the people. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, remember, in Hebrews, Paul writes that both the sanctifier and the them. to us the ministry of reconciliation, has he not? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling us unto him. It was God's idea to send his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And so the thing that gave him joy was preaching the gospel to the poor. When he started his ministry, because preaching the gospel to the poor, when people hear the gospel, they believe. And when they believe, they call. And when they call, they're saved. When they hear the gospel, they believe. When they believe, they call. When they call, they're saved. Call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon you and me to preach the gospel, to tell the good. Preaching the gospel is not standing on a platform and beating the pulpit and yelling to the top of your voice. It could be that. I'm not negating that. Or just excluding that. But preaching the gospel is just simply telling the good news. It's good news that people don't have to go to hell. I mean, it's good news that folk don't have to be sick. It's good news that people don't have to be poor. But there are people who don't know that. And we have the awesome opportunity and privilege, having sit under the Word of God, to tell them in the simplest form there is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life, the life of God. Every one of us can bring people into the family of God and enjoy the joy that was set before Jesus. Every one of us can. Every one of us should. It should be a way of life. It should be a habit. It should be habit form. It should be one of those things that you live to do. It should bring us greater joy than anything else that we do. So Jesus, after he announced his vision, after he announced his earthly ministry, we know that he went on to teach and to preach. These are the things that he did. In John, we see kind of a chronological account of what he did. In Nicodemus, in 3, he talked to Nicodemus. He says, Nicodemus, listen, every man's got to be born again. He talked about the new birth. Listen, you got to be born again. He talked about salvation, and in this conversation with Nicodemus, he does mention that probably the most popular and the one scripture that's probably won more people than anybody else to the Lord, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He talks about that. He tells Nicodemus that light has come into the world. And 4, he talks to the woman at the well. He tells about the living water. He tells about everlasting life and true worship. He talks about chapter 10 and verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. In chapter 11 and 14, he says, I'm the good shepherd. He says, my sheep, they know my voice, and I know my sheep. He goes on to say that he, in chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He says, he that believeth on me shall never die. In chapter 12, he says, if I be lifted up on the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. In chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. In chapter 12, verse 4, he says, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. This gospel, when it's preached, can be preached in total darkness. But when people hear this gospel, they won't stay in darkness. They can't stay in darkness. When they hear, receive the word of God and act on it, they'll come out of poverty. They'll come out of sickness. They'll come out of the kingdom of darkness. I guarantee you they will. Amen. And as believers, if we believe that, we ought to be preaching until we are hoarse. Amen. Because we literally have been entrusted with and empowered with the ability to bring people out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the heat of hell, into the kingdom of God. Jesus goes on to mention that he is the vine, or to talk about he's the vine, the true vine. He says, he talks about the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He teaches them about prayer. I mean, he equips them with the equipment, with the tools necessary to go out and to be a light in a dark world, to go out and to do what he did. And after he was satisfied that he had taught them, he went on and he told them, listen, I got to go back to the Father. And he goes through the whole process, to the cross, to the grave, and he ascends. He comes up and he talks to Mary. He goes back to heaven. He comes back and he talks to his disciples, and then he leaves. He goes back to heaven and he sits down at the right hand of the Father. But before he does that, he does something. He commissions his disciples to do the same work that he did, with the same motivation that he did it with the same power, the same zeal that he did it with. And in look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and it said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He didn't say, so I'm going to go. He said, no, you go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have taught or commanded you. And then he makes them a promise. He said, if you'll go and do this, lo, I am with you always. Always means always. It means all the time. It means he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He'll always be with you in all of the fullness of the glory of who he is. He will always be in you and with you in the person of the Holy Ghost to empower you. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 19, it says, when he ascended into heaven, it says, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. I mean, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. They started in Jerusalem. They went over to Judea. They went on over to Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. And it goes on to say that he went with them, confirming his word. Confirming his word. He was working with them with signs following. What kind of signs? Well, people getting healed, delivered, and set free. People being delivered from all demonic influences. People being delivered from sickness and disease. People being delivered from the kingdom of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I am convinced, the more I think about it, that if any believer wants to see, experience the power of God in manifestation, he or she ought to go. Go where? Go. Go into the world. Preaching the gospel. Because there's a promise God makes. He says, if you go and tell the story, the good news, he said, I'll confirm it. If you believe it, you will tell it. And if you will tell it, believing it, he'll confirm it. He will. There are some folk that God has just been raring to get to. Some of them people have been praying for years. One word of faith will change their world. Tell them some good news. Some good news. Jesus loves them. And God will work with you. Jesus will work with you. The Holy Spirit will work with you. He'll confirm his word. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen people healed. Praise God. Just because God wants to confirm his word, he wants to reveal himself as the Father, good Father to some folk. Amen. One more scripture now. I'll close. Romans chapter 10. I'll just go over it. In Romans chapter 10, it tells us that when the gospel is preached, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall not be ashamed. And it says, so if everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and no person who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be ashamed, it says, then why aren't they calling upon the name of the Lord? He says, well, in order for them to call, they have to believe. How can they call upon him of whom they've not believed? How can they believe upon them whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? Amen. For it is written, and I started to call this sermon, Beautiful Feet. For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good news, carry the gospel. In going into the world, there are some people who cannot physically go because of various reasons. And I'll close. But there are three ways that you can get involved in going into your world. Number one, you can go. You can go, and if you will go, the Lord will work with you. If you got faith to go, you can go. It doesn't matter about what your resources are, how broke down your car is. I've seen some amazing stuff happen in the lives of people who just wanted to go. The car would work, break down the side of the road. You send somebody to get them, and eventually, anyway, they go. But they go, and ultimately, because they desire to go, they are able to go as much as they need to go because that's their desire. The Lord is working with them, confirming it. But you can go, you can send. Somebody, the preachers need to be sent. Somebody need to be sent. So you can support the gospel by supporting them financially. You can invest in somebody's ministry. You can invest in a missionary. You can invest in Poindexter if you like. You can invest in a ministry that you know, like Reinhard Bonnke, who is getting folks saved by the thousands. And if you can't do either one of those, if you don't feel if you don't have the faith to do either one of those, you can pray. You can pray. You can prepare the path for those whose feet are hitting the mountains and hitting the byways and hitting the streets. You can do that. I want to challenge you this evening. I want to challenge you. I'm telling you, I know that the only thing Jesus is waiting for to come back is for the gospel to be preached to every nation. The United States of America is a nation. And as much as the gospel is preached, you know, there's a sowing of the word, there's a watering the word, and then there's a harvest. There's something you can do to help somebody get out of the clenches of hell, out of the kingdom of darkness, and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The first thing you need to do is to pray. Ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? Because you've got a race to run. Every one of us got a race to run. Every one of us do. Amen. So we're going to run our race. We're going to finish our course. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. Jesus found joy in bringing people into the kingdom of God, and we're going to do the same. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody's... Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much for your holy written word. We thank you for these people, Father God, and for the word being planted into their hearts. We thank you, Father, that the word will not just lie dormant, but that it will grow, Father. It'll take root and it'll grow, and every one of us will do our part to increase the family of God. I thank you for it, Father, the manifestation of the power of God in each of their lives. And we give you the glory, honor, and praise for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You guys are great listeners. I appreciate you for listening good. Listening.